Our first reading is from Psalm 86, a prayer of David. Incline thine ear, O Lord, answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Keep my soul, for I am merciful. O thou, my God, save thy servant who trusts in thee. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to thee do I call all the day. Make glad the soul of thy servant, for to thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, O Lord, art good and pardon, and hast much mercy for all that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. In the day of adversity I will call on thee, for thou wilt answer me. There is none like thee among the gods, O Lord, and there is no deeds like thine. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and they shall give glory to thy name. For thou art great and doest wonders. Thou art God, thou alone. Instruct me, O Lord, as to thy way, and I will walk in thy truths. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will confess thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name to eternity. For thy mercy is great upon me, and thou hast rescued my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the presumptuous are risen up against me, and the congregation of the terrible ones have sought my soul, and have not set thee in front of them. But thou, O Lord, art a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and of much mercy and truth. O turn thy face to me and be gracious to me. Give thy strength to thy servant and save the son of thy maidservant. We read further in the Gospel of Luke, in the 19th chapter, verses 37 through 45. And when he was already near the descent of the Mount of Olives, all the multitude of the disciples, rejoicing, began to praise God with a great voice for all the words of power they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke thy disciples." And he answering told them, "I say to you, if these should be silent, the stones would cry out." And when he was near, seeing the city, he wept over it, saying, "Oh, that thou hadst known, even thou, and indeed in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace. But now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, and thine enemies shall cast a rampart around thee, and shall surround thee, and shall beset thee on every side, and shall lay thee level with the ground, and thy sons within thee, and they shall not leave thee a stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." And he went into the temple and began to cast out them who sold therein, and them who bought. We read from the Heavenly Doctrine, from the Arcana Celestia, 5480. "And he wept. This signifies mercy, is evident from the signification of weeping when predicated of the Lord, who is here represented by Joseph, as being to be merciful. That weeping is an expression of grief and love is well known, and consequently it is expressive of mercy or pity. For mercy is love grieving. The divine love is therefore called mercy, because the human race of itself is in hell. And when man perceives this in himself, he implores mercy. As weeping is also mercy in the internal sense, therefore in the word weeping is sometimes predicated of Yahuwah or the Lord, as in Isaiah, 'I will weep with weeping for Yazir, the vine of Sibmah. I will water thee with my tears, O Heshbon and Eliah.' Likewise in Luke, when Jesus drew near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Jerusalem, over which Jesus wept, or which he pitied and over which he grieved, was not only the city Jerusalem, but also the church, the last day of which, when there would be no longer any charity, nor consequently any faith, is meant in the internal sense. And hence, from grief and pity, he wept." finally, we read from the Apocalypse Explained, number 897. The true reason why only those who are in the marriage of good and truth can be let into spiritual temptations is that the spiritual mind, which is properly the internal man, can be opened only with these. For when the mind is open, temptations exist. And for the reason that heaven, that is the Lord through heaven, flows in through man's spiritual mind into his natural mind. There is no other way of heaven, that is of the Lord through heaven, into man. And when heaven flows in, it removes the hindrances, which are evils and falsities therefrom, which have their seat in the natural mind, that is, in the natural man. And these can be removed only by the living acknowledgement of them by man, and grief of soul on account of them. This is why man is distressed in temptations by the evils and falsities that rise up into the thought. And so far as he acknowledges his sins, regards himself as guilty, and prays for deliverance, so far the temptations are useful to him. From this it is clear that man has spiritual temptation when his internal, which is called the spiritual mind, is opened, and when man is being regenerated. When, therefore, man's evils and falsities are removed, temptations are brought to an end. And when they are ended, joy flows in through heaven from the Lord and fills his natural mind. This joy is what is meant by consolation. Amen. Here end our lessons. Blessed are they who hear the word of the Lord and keep it.